Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
8 o'clock straight up, Sports Radio 94, WIP. Joe Giglio with you. We've got Tucker Bagley behind the glass. TK, Tom Kelly, he is on the updates, and you guys are with us at 215-592-9494, 215-592-9494. That is how you get in. We'll get back into the conversation about the Eagles, what they've done so far, and if this team is actually better than it was just a couple weeks ago when free agency began, and those players you wish to go back in time and rewatch their entire career from start to finish. Right now, we got to go out to the guest line. Andrew Sharp, he is the co-host of Greatest of All Talk, an NBA show, a podcast. Go subscribe to it. It is a twice-weekly NBA podcast delivering premier pro basketball conversation, which right now is a little different than normal. Andrew Sharp joins us. What's up, Andrew? How you been, man?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing all right as we try to talk through a pandemic, which is these are crazy times here, Andrew. And I don't think any of us know what this is going to look like when they can actually come back and play. But there's been a lot of talk the last couple days of what it might look like, what it should. Let's start here, Andrew. When we get the all clear, or at least the players get the all clear, do you think there has to be some sort of ramp up that they have to finish the regular season, or could they just jump into the playoffs? How do you think it needs to look to make it, you know, representative of a season?
Well, I think at this point, everyone is so desperate to get the playoffs played that no one around the NBA is going to care if you cancel the last 20% of the season, just because, you know, I think the owners and the players all kind of have the fear of God in them as they look at how much money is going to be lost if they can't play these playoffs. I mean, it could end up being close to a $1 billion drop in the salary cap, but a $1 billion drop in revenue, and that affects the salary cap. And so I don't think the regular season is even a priority at this point. Obviously, you're going to need to give guys a couple weeks to train together and get back in rhythm, because I think everybody is just sort of at home right now, and a lot of guys can't work out even if they want to. But the key for the NBA right now is just finding a way to get the games played, and even that is just like a completely open question now as to whether they're going to be able to pull that off.
If we get to play, and hopefully we do, and then this, you know, we could go back to some sort of normalcy with sports eventually, you know, and pretty soon. Andrew, how much room do they have to keep going? What I mean by that is they have to eventually consider what next season will look like. And I know we've already kind of thought like, all right, maybe they'll push it back, maybe Christmas. Do you think there's a date or a range where whatever they come up with, it has to be over? Like they have to figure out an end date to whatever the plan is.
Well, see, that's the thing. I think that there are people within the league who would be open to the idea of starting at Christmas and maybe just sort of reworking the way the NBA calendar has worked over the last 40 or 50 years and saying, all right, we're going to give football the fall and then start late and go later into the summer. And I, like, as a basketball fan, I've wondered a bunch over the last 10 years, like, why not just try it differently and see if you can just kind of own the summer? So I think that's on the table. But even if you do that, you need to get this stuff played and done with by like the end of September. I think, you know, Labor Day has been thrown out as sort of like the last possible time that you could play the finals. And then there have been some murmurs that maybe they could go further into September. But like, you can't go much further than that. And if that's your end point, you got to start in like July or August. And And again, like, it's crazy to be sitting here as a basketball fan and looking at what's happening in the world, and just, we don't really know if that's doable at this point. I mean, they haven't restarted in China, and it's been a few months, so we'll see.
Yeah, we have no idea of how this is going to go, but there has to be a thought on how long they could go. And then, Andrew, when it comes to arenas and it comes to facilities, I mean, that has to be part of this too. Like, what is booked for the summer? I know everything's on pause now, but I keep thinking about Labor Day, Andrew, because the NFL starts after that. And then you get all these, like ABC, I mean, I don't know how much television plays into this. It probably plays a decent part. Like, they have things that they run out there in September, October that they probably want just as much, if not more, than the NFL. Labor Day feels to me like a date that makes some sense, that if they can wrap up by then, there's enough time until Christmas and you're not running into football season.
Yeah, and that's definitely going to be the priority, is to find a way to get it done. And you mentioned the stadium availability. Like, this is all just such a mess, and the NBA is going to have to kind of figure it out as they go here, because that's a real concern as well. And they may have to choose to play this all in like one city, and in part for safety and health reasons, just to sort of simplify everything for everybody. But I agree that the TV networks are going to factor into this a lot, and I think rightfully so, because ESPN is turning around and saying, look, like, we have nothing to air for the next 3 months, so let's work this out together. And it's definitely more convenient for everybody if the NBA Finals are not competing with the first week of the NFL season.
Andrew Sharp joining us here, Greatest of All Talk, an NBA show, a podcast you could subscribe to. Andrew, the last couple days and weeks, Mark Cuban has been, it feels like, the voice of the NBA on all this, that he's, I find in equal parts, he's trying to calm people down, but then at the same time say, hey, look, this is serious and we're taking it seriously. But he keeps saying they're going to play. He keeps putting on a kind of a brave front and even throwing out things like May or early June. Do you buy it because it's coming from Cuban, or do you think he's just trying to make people feel good in a time where sports fans are not feeling really good?
Yeah, you know, I keep seeing those quotes and I'm just like, you know, what are you watching right now? And obviously, like, I'm a basketball fan. I talk about basketball all week long, and like, I would love to see basketball games played, but it just doesn't seem feasible for them to pull this off in late May or early June. The one thing that they have working in their favor is that, like, I think everybody is going to be on the same page. I mean, players, this isn't going to be controversial as they go to the players' union and say, hey, can we come up with a creative way to get these games played? Because everybody is going to have incentive, financial incentive, to sort of go with whatever the best plan is. I just can't imagine that it's going to end up happening, like, before Memorial Day. That seems like a fantasy.
It does. And Andrew, the one thing then, when they come up with when they could play, is how it looks. And LeBron James has expressed, you know, wanting the fans to be there. And I mean, this has come up a lot with all these sports, like how this will work. And my perspective is this: we're in a spot right now where you can't leave your house basically ever. You can't be within 6 feet of each other. I can't imagine in 2 months, if they're cleared to play basketball, that we'd be allowed to have 20,000 people in an arena. Andrew, I think they have to play without fans to start. Otherwise, they're not going to play.
There's no way that they're going to be able to have fans. Like, whatever LeBron says now, like, there's just no way you can do it. And that's fine, because I think that basketball fans, particularly if we're all still stuck at home, everybody's going to be kind of fascinated to see what it looks like playing with, like, 10 guys in an empty gym, and how that changes the way everyone interacts. And like, it would be a pretty fascinating sort of viewing experience. Obviously it's not ideal for anybody, but like, there's stuff that you can kind of watch and get into from a viewer standpoint. But yeah, like, the idea of actually having crowds at these playoff games, like, to me, that's completely off the table. I don't make any of the decisions, but I just can't imagine that we'll be in a place where that makes sense in the next couple months.
I don't know if you're going to have a real answer, because it's a total hypothetical none of us have ever seen, but it's it's hard for me, and I think it's the right thing. We're in agreement on this, but I just can't imagine playoff basketball without people there. Like, I'm trying to figure out how it's going to impact the games and, like, the home court advantage that we all think of as a real thing. What do you think that's going to be like? Do you think it has a tangible – do you think it would change the way the outcomes are in any way if they are playing in empty arenas. Like the energy of the building, which is so it feels real during the NBA playoffs. I mean, it would disappear.
Well, I mean, there's no question it hurts the Sixers, because the Sixers, the only thing they had going for them all year was the fans in Philly. So they're screwed. I think it maybe helps the Clippers, because if the Clippers were playing the Lakers in a 7-game series, they're basically stuck playing 7 Lakers home games. So that's another factor to consider. But yeah, I mean, like, imagining high stakes playoff basketball without any fans is crazy. And when I say it's kind of interesting to think about, or could be kind of fascinating, like, I imagine watching like those old Dream Team scrimmages in an empty gym in Monte Carlo, and seeing that with like the best players of today's era playing games that actually matter. Like, I would actually be pretty interested to see like what that looks like when there's an NBA title on the line, and how the guys kind of interact when there are no fans making noise and we can hear everybody talking trash. Like, there's part of me that is pretty intrigued. But there's no question that if it does ever actually happen, and if we get there in mid-July and can make this work, it's going to be unlike anything we've ever experienced in sports.
You mentioned there, Andrew, the championship on the line. Do you think there's any part, small part, big part, of the NBA's thinking that they have to figure out a way to get this, to finish the season? Because the reality of the Lakers and the reality of LeBron James and his age, this is, I mean, you can make a guess, a good guess, that this is the last LeBron run. Like, this could be the last time. He's still crazy peak of his powers at this age, but it's not going to last forever. The Lakers are the best team. You think that plays in, like, we can't waste this LeBron year, that he's going to probably be in the finals or close to it?
So, I don't think so. I think that is definitely number one on their agenda, is to find a way to do right by the TV networks and make sure all the contracts are fulfilled one way or another. I think that, to your point, though, LeBron probably knows that this is one of his last shots, or if not his last shot. And when I imagine what these conference calls are going to look like over the next couple of months, like, I think LeBron is going to have one of the loudest voices on that call trying to get these games played, because you're right. Like, he's going to be 36, I think. And he doesn't have many more years where he's at the top of the league, and the Lakers were in a great spot to go chase that title and potentially win it. And he's going to be all in. I think that's one thing we know now, is that LeBron is down to play these games whenever, wherever.
Andrew Sharp joining us here. Our last one for you, Andrew. I'm going to throw a little fun question that we've been bantering about tonight, and I'll throw it from a basketball perspective for yours. If you could go back, Andrew, especially during this time where there's nothing to watch, and you can rewatch the entirety of any basketball player's career from the moment they got drafted to the end, like, rewatch the whole thing, who would you pick? You get one player. You can rewatch the whole story from beginning to end.
Oh, boy. This is tough, man, because to be honest with you, like, my honest answer is also the lamest answer, but I think I would go with Jordan, just because reliving everything he did would be wild. I think, you know, Iverson is another one that I would enjoy kind of going back to, but beyond that, like, I'm not going back to the 50s or 60s, because I think going back to that era, like, I would be kind of disappointed and underwhelmed by everything. But, like, Iverson, Dominique Wilkins, that era of basketball would be a lot of fun to relive.
Yeah, I like that one. And the Jordan thing, I mean, it is obvious, but like, so for my age, I miss the beginning Jordan when he was, you know, he didn't win yet, but he was obviously.
Exactly.
I would love to watch that and then watch the transition. Like, you know, how did he do it? And like, how did he become this winner? And when Scotty got there, I like that one, Andrew. Andrew, I appreciate you hopping on, man. And we'll be listening to the podcast, and hopefully basketball comes back soon, and we'll chat again.
Yeah, man. Good luck. I'll talk to you soon.
There he goes. Andrew Sharp joining us there, the host of Greatest of All Talk, an NBA show. So he's with what I've been saying the last couple nights, that these players have to get used to the idea of there's not going to be fans.
No, I think it's pretty much a certainty at this point. I mean, baseball is the only sport who has come out and said no. And my only thought with that is, so let's say it's mid-May or mid-June, mm-hmm. More likely. It's mid-June. Basketball started back up with no fans. Hockey is about to start up with no fans. And baseball's kind of just sitting on its hands waiting. I imagine that at some point players are going to go, wait a minute, that looks like fun. Like, they're still making money. They still get to play. That'll salvage more of the season. Maybe we should try that. Like, I think eventually they're going to change their mind.
They have to. And I heard last time when I was driving home, Ricky Ricardo was on last evening, and he had, I think it was Scott Lauber, early in the show when I got in the car and I was driving home. And Scott had mentioned, like, they were having this conversation on when we thought baseball would come back or whatever sport, but obviously baseball was their topic. And Scott had mentioned that, you know, I guess in Korea or China right now, they have these temperature machines. Like, instead of walking through the metal detector at a game, they actually in China now have temperature detectors where you walk into a building, you walk into a room, and it automatically registers your body temperature. It's a signal of, oh, maybe you're sick, maybe you should leave and go get yourself checked out and not infect other people. It's a brilliant idea, and hopefully it helps stop the spread that began over there 4 or 5 months ago. But the conversation they had was, you know, could we have something like that at games? Could we have something like that at arenas in the next couple of months where we have, instead of metal detectors, you're going through a fever detector to see if you could be allowed in? And Scott had mentioned, like, you know, if we have to do that, maybe we just have to wait. And, like, that's the thing. Like, we're dealing with something that none of us have any idea really what's going on. None of us have any idea how it will disappear or go away, or the waves that will come in and go away. So, like, yeah, I mean, conceivably, you could set up some sort of fever detector outside an NBA arena. But my goodness gracious, if we're doing that, I think we just have to not invite the fans. I think it's way simpler to say, hey, guys, stay home, watch the game on TV, than, hey, come through this fever detector. And if you're at 99.7, you get to stay. You're at 100, you get to go home. Like, what are we doing?
I mean, the air conditioner doesn't work in my car. Are you saying that, like, I wouldn't be able to come in after being on the road for 40 minutes?
Does your body temperature rise?
I imagine it
does. No, but I don't mean sweating, Tucker. I mean, like, does your internal body temperature rise that much on a car ride?
Well, if you stick, like, a roast in the oven, the internal temperature is going to rise. I don't see how that's any different.
I don't know the science behind this one. I can't imagine a hot car ride makes your temperature go from 98.6 to 100.6.
I think it could.
I mean, maybe if you're in there for a while. Like, maybe if you're, like, in the car for 5 hours.
I'm going to Google it. We're going to figure this out.
Yeah, I don't believe body temp, like, your internal body temperature fluctuates that much based on the outside surroundings. Like, maybe I'm wrong. We're all playing doctor these days. Chris from Williamstown, he's not a doctor. What's up, Chris?
You know, these guys, LeBron James, are you kidding me that he's got to play to an empty arena while Ted Williams was flying fighter planes over Korea and in Japan? I mean, are you serious? Are these guys serious? Boo-hoo, LeBron. You know, Ted Williams would have been possibly the home run king. And these owners make me want to throw up. I don't hear anything from Middleton donating anything. I'll hear anything from, I think, what's his name? The guy from the Sixers said he's...
Josh Harris, as we've established, is a complete and total bozo.
Scumbag. I don't hear anything. Jeff Laurie, Mr. Green Jeans with his solar energy. Where are these guys at? Why is it the players are making a better effort than these billion-dollar owners and these and guys who served in World War II? You didn't hear a peep out of those guys. They were, I mean, these guys make me sick.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, I hear you, and I agree with you on the owners. They should all be stepping up, all of them, to help out right now in a time. Like, Chris, I mean, there's a shortage right now in this country of ventilators. I don't know how many ventilators, if all the team owners in this country right now got together and donated money, but I'd have a feeling that if they donated enough money, we could find enough ventilators to help people in hospitals right now.
Joe, real quick, World War II, this country, we supplied the world with ships, artillery, guns, bullets, tanks, and we defeated Nazi Germany and Japan. I think we can put together enough of our resources to put together some hospital gowns and some masks and ventilators. I mean, come on. This is ridiculous.
Chris, you're right on that. I mean, I you're right. I mean, we appreciate the phone call. I mean, he's not wrong. I saw what Drew Brees donated, $5 million. Some owners have stepped up, but it is interesting like their players are. Like Joel Embiid stepped up, and then Josh Harris, you know, put his tail between his legs and said, "I'm sorry." Drew Brees stepped up. I mean, these owners are probably scared out of their mind because they are billionaires who want to live like billionaires, and their stocks are down, and they don't know when their business is going to run again. But I mean, they have enough money to help. I mean, they could all do what they want with their money, but they all have enough money to help in a time right now where everyone needs help. I'm not mad at LeBron, though. I think LeBron just has a preference that he wants to play in front of fans. I'm not mad at LeBron. I think LeBron has to wake up here and realize that's not going to happen. Not mad at LeBron, though.
So I just found out that a child's body can heat up to 104 degrees after an hour in a hot car.
Child.
Yeah.
You're a grown man.
I'm not very big.
You're a lot bigger than a child.
But I imagine the principle stays the same.
No, I don't think so. I think kids' bodies are just they're their own thing. I don't think so. Well, I mean, we'll test it. I mean, once things go back to normal, you can sit in the car and
I'll do a show from my car on the bridge.
In 100-degree weather.
Yes.
Windows down, and we'll take your temperature reading.
Yeah, that makes sense. That works.
Listen, if you want to volunteer for that, that's fine.
I mean, for science, I think it has to be done.
I'll sit in the air conditioning studio. 215-592-9494. 215-592-9494. That is how you get aboard. When we get back, Joe Biden. You don't usually hear from Joe Biden on the show, but he was on with Jimmy Kimmel. And he said, like, a lot of times people on talk shows say bizarre things or like things are like, what did he just say? But Joe Biden had one last night on Jimmy Kimmel. He was wearing a Phillies hat, and I was just blown away by what I heard on television. We'll bring that to you, your phone calls. I do not believe the Eagles are a better football team now than when free agency started. And give us an athlete. You can rewatch any athlete ever, start to finish their entire career. Who you picking? 215-592-9494, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.